Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are a locally grown radio. It is 9.05 on the clock. You got your host, James J. I am joined by Seth Habagger.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a good day out there. A little bit later, Seth and I are going to get into Science Says These Are the Best Songs to Listen to If You Are Trying to Fall Asleep.
I'm intrigued by that. I'm really looking forward to
it. It's an interesting list. We've got for rock, pop, and hip hop, which means we're missing country and some other ones.
Yep.
So we're going to ask our audience to play along.
Play along, yep.
And then the next time you do co-host the show with us, Seth, we'll get into those that the audience sends us.
Awesome.
And maybe some you have or Beth or, you know, anybody else out there.
Anyone listening who wants to join in, yeah.
So we'll get into that a little bit later. Of course, That Ain't Right Stories and Good Stories of the Day still around the corner for you, everybody. Be on the lookout for those.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, want to get into this one, the 13 best movie openings of all time.
I'm ready.
Scenes of all time. That's what they're going by. We'll see if they're wrong or right. And again, this is one of those ones where I want more audience interacting.
Okay.
I want you guys to reach out to us more. It's 9 o'clock. I understand a lot of people are starting their work day or already at their job. Mm-hmm. So it's not a call-in type of opportunity.
No.
But email James at WFHR. You can email Seth at WFHR. Mm-hmm. Direct message us on Facebook. However you got to get it to us.
Yep.
Get us what you think, not only a little bit later when we're getting into songs and what you think are the best songs to fall asleep to or help you fall asleep.
Right.
What do you think are the best movie openings of all time? This is all kind of also playing into something else because I think we can talk about this a bit, Seth.
Sure.
Seth and I are creating and working on a collaborative show where we are going to focus on local arts and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, local music, local theater, along with, you know, what's new in theaters, the biggest headlines in entertainment are.
Yeah.
Seth and I will tackle those on a weekly basis on a weekend show.
Yep, that's right.
It's something that us along with, I'd say Sage and Mike, the three of us, the four of us are working on and very excited about.
Yes.
There's a great opportunity there for us to be on more local acts, to promote more local, more of our local entertainment. And we're very excited about the opportunity.
Very excited.
So it might as well start interacting now, everybody.
Yeah.
We're going to need your feedback and want your feedback about other things,
yep,
too. Hey, there's a band out there that we haven't had on the air. Let us know. Let us know about them and
stuff. Yeah, please. Mm-hmm. We want to know.
Things like that.
Yep.
So let's go ahead and get into this list, Seth.
Okay.
And this is going to be a fun one, I think, because even if we don't agree with them, it'd be fun to talk about.
Yep.
You know, a movie is going to be good when it's able to hook you in the first few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't a whole lot of things that a good book and a good movie have in common. But for me, that is that is one of the most unifying things there is. How it starts gets you. I've read so many books that I didn't have no interest in how it was going halfway through, but I kept on because of the first lines.
Mm-hmm.
I my sister and my mom is the biggest Stephen King fan of all time.
Okay.
My sister is probably second.
Okay. Okay.
They told me I gotta read the Dark Knight, the Dark Tower series. I have to read this. It's the only series King's ever gonna do and everything, and I gotta read it. I'm like, I don't know. I'm going out to California. My mom's like, Jimmy, just before you go, do you have a book to read? I'm like, I got this. It's like, no, read this. And she gives me The Gunslinger. Mm-hmm. And it's the first of these.
Yep.
And it starts off with the man in black. The man in black ran across the desert. The gunslinger walked across the desert. Mm-hmm. The man in black followed.
Ooh.
And I was hooked. I read five books because of that opening line.
Yes.
It's things like that that get you.
Mm-hmm.
And a good movie knows that. A good director, a good screenwriter knows that.
Get those hooks in, yep.
So here, MovieWeb put together a list of the 13 best opening scenes, and here they are ranked.
Okay.
Do you want to go from the bottom up?
We got to go bottom up, I think,
gotcha,
on this one. Yeah.
All right. Scream from 1996, the shocking early death of Drew Barrymore's character.
That was kind of a game changer.
Yeah, for those that didn't see Scream, a very slasher horror film kind of thing.
Yep.
Wes Craven behind the helm, and you know it's going to be a little different with Wes.
Yep.
And now, nowadays, whether it's The Walking Dead or basically any movie that has come out since Scream,
yeah,
all bets are off.
Yep.
You just don't know anymore. Before that, though, we kind of forget, if Drew Barrymore was starring in a movie, let alone the face on the cover of the movie poster.
On the poster, yeah.
I have a feeling Drew's going to be in the majority of the movie.
Yep.
she's in 2 seconds of it. Mm-hmm. She said, you know, I was in theaters and saw it with my buddy Steve, who was a huge horror fan. Mm-hmm. And we literally both turned and looked at each other, were shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Like I still to this day, I'm shocked it happened.
Yep.
You know, it was crazy to me. But it was such a great move by Craven. It was such an incredible,
brilliant, movie. Brilliant filmmaking.
So brilliant that it is now like it's been overdone.
It's de rigueur. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm. Now you're almost surprised when an actor makes it through the whole
yeah,
movie.
Exactly.
Good luck if you're a Walking Dead fan. Don't get attached to anybody. And don't get attached to any character.
No. You'd be disappointed.
The movie Up from 2009. Mm. Carl and Ellie's beautiful love story from when they were kids to when they get old, and eventually Ellie passes, and leaving Carl alone. It is heartbreaking. It is heart pulling, and it is a Disney movie. It is a Pixar movie.
Yes,
it is how every Disney or Pixar movie starts.
I know people who literally cannot watch the beginning of Up.
Yep,
because it's too much for them.
Yeah,
because and that's like, and they curse Pixar because yes. Like, darn you, Pixar. You know?
They just do not know how to start a movie without a tragedy.
Yeah,
they just don't. True. They don't. Especially old Disney, like anything like old Disney, like you know, Snow White or any other, Bambi, for God's sake.
Oh, Bambi.
Sake, or, you know, any of these. Even modern Disney with Finding Nemo. My daughter, I'm so proud of Izzy for this. Izzy loved that movie, like little kids fall for movies.
Yep.
But she hated the beginning of it. And because it's a DVD, she learned she could just start the movie where she wanted to. Because that's what that kid did. Like, Izzy, want to watch Finding Nemo? Yep. And she'd go over there and she'd push the buttons and everything. Man, that kid, I'm done. So good. Number 11, I like this because it's kind of a bit of a throwback. Touch of Evil from 1958.
That was one of the ones on my mind.
Yeah?
Okay. As many people may or may not know, I don't know. I'm a big Orson Welles fan. I love almost all of his movies. He was just brilliant. And specifically for that, it's because it's the first time that anyone did it an extended. The first, like, I don't know, 5 minutes is one long shot. They had everything had to be timed exactly as the camera is sweeping over. It's a big crane shot sweeping over the whole thing. And it's an amazing piece of filmmaking to start a movie.
It's also a something that to this day they teach in film school.
They do. Yeah.
And you're right. It is the first time that this was done in film where it's literally in real time.
It is in real time.
It's filmed in real time. It's done in real time. Now, it's just that scene, but it influenced and had an impact on so much other cinema to all the way to, I believe, the late 90s or early 2000s. There was a Johnny Depp movie, Nick of Time. With Christopher Walken, and the whole movie is on real time. It's by the second, and it's so incredibly well done. It's not the greatest story. It's not the greatest movie you're going to see.
Right.
But if you're interested in that kind of stuff, especially filmmaking, it's definitely worth seeing. Johnny Depp's great in it. Christopher Walken's great in it.
Probably the other well known shot like that is the Copacabana scene in Goodfellas.
Yeah.
When you follow them through the kitchen and everything, which is another great. I mean, just a fabulous shot.
I mean, Scorsese's got at least a dozen of these. But that's right in like top three for him.
Yeah,
That scene is legend.
Yep.
It never like there's. It's been so redone by so many people because it's so well done.
It's so well done and so well known. Yep.
Yeah, Touch Evil from 1958.
By the way, great movie. The whole movie is awesome. Movie's watch great. It.
Yep. Yeah, and Orson Welles, one of the few people I will say bona fide genius.
Yeah,
like bona fide.
I think he was a genius. Yep.
Drive from 2011, a car chase where we meet Ryan Gosling's character who escapes the scene of a crime. That is a good one. Yeah, I'll agree.
I have not seen that, so I cannot comment on that. No comment.
Number 9, The Lion King from 1994. It opens with a circle of life. Simba is born and presented in front of all the animals in the kingdom.
It's been parodied so many times.
And honestly, if something has been parodied, it kind of tells you a little bit why it's on this list.
It is. It's a cultural phenomenon now. People know about it.
One of the few times something begins on a positive in a Disney movie, too.
it's birth.
Like I don't know if they. I don't think that the that must have skated by the producers or something. I don't know. For me, there are a couple of these that I'd put in here just for honorable mentions. I think The Last Boy Scout is one of the more impactful beginnings to a movie you'll ever see.
Oh, no, I hadn't thought about that movie in a lot, but you're right. That's a really remarkable beginning. Yeah,
I think it's Billy Blanks, actually, the guy who would go on to do workout videos.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's got a football player. He's on the phone, and you can tell he's talking to a guy that he owes money to.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't score a touchdown with like 5 seconds or whatever in the game, they're going to take his legs or something like that. Okay. He goes on the field and violence happens, and it's just very
don't want to do any spoilers. But you're right. It's like a whoa, what just happened kind of thing. Yeah.
I'm just like that movie. I love Bruce and Damon Wayans together in that.
I wish they had done more together. They had great chemistry.
They were really good together. Yes. I thought they were going to go like Eddie and 48 Hours. Gary Busey?
No. I can't remember.
Wow. But I thought it would be like that. I thought it would be like that.
Or your Danny Glover, Mel Gibson kind of thing, which whatever series. I can't.
I just didn't want to say Mel Gibson.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay.
That's fine. I'm a Jew. I can't say Mel Gibson. He doesn't allow us to.
Something happens,
There's two things. Mel Gibson doesn't like Jews talking about him, and he doesn't like them in his movies. I can say that.
Yes.
And I don't care what anybody says. You can go ahead and email me about that one. You go ahead and Google Mel Gibson and Jews.
You'll see.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, you'll see.
But for me, I think when I think of this, literally the first movie I think of, and it's not because it's one of the greatest movies ever or anything like that. I think it is so incredibly well done. The Dark Knight from 2008.
Mm.
A bunch of men in clown masks are robbing a bank, and there is this old, like, it's something that it's an old Italian, like, form of crime, the way that you see this played out, but I don't think it's common knowledge of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really plays out, and you're, as an audience member, you're kind of just shocked, and then you're shocked again, and then you're shocked again, and then at the very end of it, you are blown away.
Yeah.
And the way the bus just takes off, so seamless and everything, the directing of Christopher Nolan and the acting of Heath Ledger is legend. It is so perfectly done. It's masterful. If you don't like any other second of that movie, I almost promise you, you will love the way it begins.
Yep.
Number seven, another great mention, The Matrix from 1999. Carrie Ann Moss as Trinity is on the run from the police, and it's Carrie Ann Moss at her finest.
Yes, yes.
She's so good.
She's an amazing person.
Number six, There Will Be Blood from 2007. There is no dialogue, but we see Daniel Day-Lewis's character strike oil, get injured, and crawl for miles.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen that one either, but sounds pretty epic.
I take a lot of shots at Daniel Day-Lewis because as arguably the most serious person on the planet, I say he takes the game too seriously.
Yes, he does.
And takes himself, maybe more important, I don't know about that, maybe he takes himself too darn seriously.
It's the difference between taking your job seriously and taking yourself too seriously. I think that's a good distinction to make.
When you put yourself that much higher above extras, You lose. I don't care how talented you are. I got no interest in working with you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to have a beer with you. I don't care if you've won 3 Oscars.
Yeah.
That doesn't outweigh, like, I've got to be Abraham Lincoln on the set 24/7, and no extras can come up and talk to me, and you don't make eye contact with me, and this kind of stuff and everything. Get out of here, man. You ain't that good. You ain't even that good. I put Cary Grant over you. I put Denzel Washington over you. 1,000 actors before I put over Daniel Day-Lewis.
I'm so glad we're talking about. I just want to hear these rants from James. That's basically why we're doing this.
He is a very, very good actor, though, and I think My Left Foot is classic. It's probably his best work overall. I think his best scene may be that scene. It's incredibly very well done scene, and he's great in it. Number five, Inglourious Basterds from 2009, another dialogue scene, but this time it's a man being interrogated about a missing Jewish family, which is hiding underneath the man's floorboards. It's a very long movie. It's a hard watch. But that opening scene is one of the most suspenseful, terrifying scenes tension. I've ever watched in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I haven't seen The Social Network, but it's the only David Fincher movie I haven't seen.
Oh, interesting.
From 2010. It's the dialogue between Jesse Eisenberg and Rooza Mara over a few beers at a Harvard bar. I don't know necessarily what's big about it, but
I guess we're going to have to watch it and find out.
Maybe, yeah.
We're going to have to do some homework.
This is kind of interesting because I would have thought for sure, I did not look at this list, I would have thought if I was betting money, this would have been the number one.
Okay.
The Godfather from 1972, what many people will say is the greatest film ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many, many people agree with that. I don't know if I would say that, but I would. I don't fight people on that. I'm not going to argue that.
It's for me, it's definitely top 10, possibly top 5.
It's at least top 2, top 3 for me. Of a perfect film. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little biased about it, I think.
No, but I am too. My favorite is, I think Citizen Kane is, but again, I'm a big Orson Welles fan, so why wouldn't I, right?
And that's another one where I'd put it in the top 5.
Yeah.
I'd definitely put Citizen Kane top 5.
Yeah.
Easily. So a man asks Marlon Brando's character for help on the day of his daughter's wedding. Parts of the opening dialogue are still quoted. You come to me and you come into my house on the day my daughter is about to be married.
Yeah.
You ask me a favor. You ask me a problem. You ask me a question.
Just kind of trails off a little bit, but it's classic Brando.
It's classic Brando. And my favorite part is just right after that part. He's like, you never even offer me for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
That's so for great. Some reason, I love that line and the way he says it, you know?
I think in part it's because it's Brando's line.
It's got me.
I think it's part of that. It's
yeah.
The way he would immerse himself in a character.
Yes.
Now, Marlon Brando, light years ahead of Daniel Day-Lewis. Sorry.
He didn't stay in character. Let's be very honest about this. He didn't stay in character off the
set. One of the guys that people loved having on set.
Yes.
For by all rights and purposes, yep. As far mm-hmm. as we know and have heard.
Yep.
Number two on the list, Jaws from 1975. A woman is attacked by a great white shark. Even though you don't see the shark, you hear her screams, the John Williams iconic music.
That is the most important music in movie history. That opening scene, that tense. I don't think Jaws is nearly as good without that soundtrack, and especially the opening scene.
You hear Spielberg say like things like that about John Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why John Williams is the unquestionable GOAT, like in composing.
How many themes has he come up with that are still, I mean, everyone knows. Indiana Jones, Star Wars, I mean, you name it.
I say greatest basketball player of all time, I'm going to get five or six different references. Football player, same thing. Baseball player, same thing. Greatest composer of all time, there's only one answer. It's John Williams, yes. like by leaps and bounds.
Yep.
And I've never thought of it that way, but I think you're incredibly right.
You needed that tense, that music there, yep.
And especially for like horror or suspense, it's probably the biggest opening for that ever.
Oh, I agree.
For
completely.
That genre.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number one on the list, and I don't argue this one, especially because of how incredibly well it was done, and in part because of what my papa said about it and my grandfather mm-hmm. said about it. And I'm talking about number one on the list, Saving Private Ryan from 1998.
Ooh.
American troops storm the Omaha Beach during World War II. It's considered the most realistic depiction of a war battle in movie history.
Mm-hmm.
And that is coming from generals. That is coming from people that literally were on the beach when that happened. And that's coming from people that I know personally mm-hmm. that were on that beach when it happened, like my grandfathers and many other people like that.
Well, and also, and not only was it so realistic, I mean, that's what makes it difficult to watch.
Yes.
I mean, it's very important, and I'm glad that they do it. But it's not easy because, guess what? War is awful. And no matter what, how heroic or whatever, war is terrible. And this does not shy away from that 1 minute.
So I've mentioned before that Schindler's List is one of those movies that I say is required watching.
I agree.
But I can watch it once. I've seen that movie one time, and that's about it for me. I can't do it more than that.
Mm-hmm.
No movie has ever got me like that one did.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to that is Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
I've seen that movie maybe once or twice, and it's not because it's not both of these movies, incredible movies.
They're good movies, yeah, very good.
And I didn't think of it. They're both Spielberg movies.
They're both Spielberg movies, yet they are.
Who is one of my favorite directors of all time?
Yeah.
Like the majority of people out there listening.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost he's almost too good. He's almost too good at what he does to where both of those movies are so good, so realistic mm-hmm. that they're a hard watch.
At his best, Steven Spielberg can bring out emotions like no director I've seen ever.
Yeah,
I mean it's really remarkable how he's been able to do that throughout his career. You know, some of his stuff is a little modeling maybe, but when he's on his game, man, there's no one better at that.
It's hard to if somebody said to me that they think Steven Spielberg is the greatest director of all time, it's hard to press against it.
Yeah,
because of his body of work, because of the different genres he's done.
Yeah,
he just had a big best-selling movie with West Side Story.
He did a musical for the first time when he was how old? Come on!
It's an impressive career.
I give him a lot of credit for that. There is one movie I'd like to include on here, and I'm kind of surprised that it didn't. The opening scene of Star Wars.
Yeah.
With that was another game changer when you have, again, Williams' score, that amazing score that he had.
Yes.
But it's the small ship, and then all of a sudden this gigantic thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Comes down. I mean,
it's right now because
everyone has seen it so many times now. It's like it kind of lost it. But can you imagine? You're 1977. You're in the theater. You're watching this. You're like, oh, my gosh. When is this ship going to end? It keeps going and going, you know?
I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm.
That is a legend, the way that opens. it only compounds it also with the words and the scrolling.
Oh, the
of
scroll
the
before, yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
done anything like that.
No.
Nobody did anything like that before.
No.
And it's a movie. I shouldn't be reading. I should, but people read. People did.
Yeah, yeah.
And it worked so well, they kept doing it in every other movie.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Honorable mention for me. I don't know. I don't have a problem with this not being in the top 10, top 20.
Yeah.
I put it in my top 10, but I'm looking at these movies as not a perfect movie or an Oscar winner. I don't really care about award stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's nice for, like, I do like the Cecil B. DeMille, like, honor, like Lifetime Achievement Awards. Like,
that's a good one.
I like.
Yeah.
But otherwise, hit or miss to me. It's so political and all that. The opening of Blade. I know it's an action movie. I know it's a silly, vampire movie or whatever.
Yeah.
You watch that movie, you watch that opening, and you tell me that you won't remember it the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I'm going on.
Mm-hmm.
Does it stay with you?
Yeah.
Do you go back to it? Do you reference it? Have you seen parodies of it?
Yep.
This is what's memorable to me.
Yep.
And that opening scene of Blade. Wesley Snipes is maybe the smoothest, coolest entrance for an action star of all time.
Mm-hmm.
The way he walks into that room, smirks in those sunglasses, and then goes to work. Goes to work.
Oh, man. That's so I missed. Real quick here, I do want to add one more honorable mention here. It's a movie that was very small. I love it. It's not a tremendous movie. It's one of the few serious roles that Ben Stiller did early in his career. Zero Effect,
yeah.
And that has a very cool opening to it as well. It's very low-key, but it's very good. And because it kind of explains how everything is going to go. It's not a perfect movie, but I love it. I've loved it for really long. Bill Pullman, the best performance of his career.
Yes.
I got to say. Yes. As he's been in tons of movies, but I got to give Bill Pullman credit on that one.
Great actor.
Yes.
But I agree. I agree completely with you on that. Now, what do you guys think?
Let us know.
What do you think are some of the best, most, or for you? It doesn't have to be what you think everybody else thinks. We want to know what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Email either of us, Seth or James at WFHR.com. You can also direct message us on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Look forward to getting your what you guys think out there. We're going to go ahead and we'll play Melissa's news early.
All right.
We'll go ahead and do that. We'll get that in. Take care of Mel, because Mel gets, she'll yell at me otherwise.
Yeah, she will. It's coming.
Wait. Crick. Actually, we will probably play this on time because this is going to be a second. I just happened to look over at the board here, and then I saw my phone, and your better half, Beth, just messaged Raiders of the Lost Ark.
How could we have missed that one?
Kudos, Beth.
Oh.
Nicely done.
Again, another John Williams score.
Jeez, man, I'm telling you, GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. Nobody.
But again, almost no dialogue. It's all action stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
One of my favorite action scenes of all time, and you guys know where I'm going with this, I think. Guy comes out. He's swinging that sword. He's doing all these cool things. He's flipping it around all over the place. And Harrison Ford just looks at him and pulls out his gun. Pop. It's so good.
And it's also one of the my favorite behind-the-scenes story. Poor Harrison Ford was sicker than a dog. And they were supposed to have a big sword fight scene. He couldn't do it. He was so sick. So they're like, they just improvised that. Boom, he was done for the day. That's all he needed to do. And it's such an iconic moment.
I generally really like Harrison Ford a lot. Midwestern kid, everything like that. But I am glad he was sick on that day. I actually am.
It's one of the best scenes in the movie.
We don't have that scene if he's not sick.
No, exactly.
It's such a better scene that way. We'll take a break, but get us your ideas, everybody.
Yeah.
We want to know what you think. James or Seth at WFHR.com. And then, of course, you can also direct message us on Facebook. I'm going to go to Melissa's news, and we'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR. Locally grown radio.
I just suddenly had a Night at the Roxbury thing going on there.
Night at the Roxbury definitely popped in. Yes. It's great. It's a great one. I broke the window again.
Sorry. That movie wasn't very good, but I like the sketches.
There's some great sketches.
Yeah.
And now that music we were just playing for you is probably not the kind of music you want to listen to when you're trying to fall asleep.
No.
But science says some of these are. And what we're going to do right now is Seth and I are going to go through these. Do you use music to fall asleep? Well, a new study has determined the best songs to listen to.
Okay.
They even came up with a scientific formula to figure it all out.
Okay.
And I'm not going to get into the details, but in the nutshell, the songs basically share quality qualities with lullabies like tempo and energy.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Now, keep that in mind to our listening audience out there, because mm-hmm. we're going to give you guys some more homework to do. Because, again, this is that kind of show. We didn't give you the morning show play at home version for nothing.
That's
everybody.
Right.
I mean, we want you to put in a little work.
Come on. Get us
your birthdays and anniversaries.
Yep.
Get us, you know, your favorite movie openings.
Yep.
How about we also expand that to favorite movie endings?
Ooh.
So, you know, both of the above. Send it to Seth and James.
Yep.
That was a great O, by the way. That was great.
I also, by the way, although the funny thing is I always remember the ones I hate the most for whatever reason. Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, I have to think of some good ones, though.
And we also want to hear for you guys out there, especially I want my my country and my bluegrass fans out there. We want to hear from you because they did not have them on this list.
Yeah.
Which makes
it oversight. You know?
Yeah. And especially considering we're talking about falling asleep and they've got rock as a category up here, but not. And I'm not trying, I don't know if I'm being stereotypical here or not, but like country music, like is if I had to choose between country and rock, and you're not telling me the artists that are going to be played,
mm-hmm.
I would think the country would probably help me ease into sleep better than a rock song would.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm wrong. You know, let me know, guys.
Yeah.
Email us and let us know. Or direct message us on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So with the rock category, here are the top 10, and we'll just run through some of these. Number 10, Imagine from John Lennon.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Desperado from the Eagles.
That's the tempo again. Yeah, I'm seeing this now. Yeah.
Every Breath You Take from The Police.
Yeah.
Walk on the Wild Side from Lou Reed.
Oh, yeah. Now that I think about it, nice beat on that one. Yep.
Oh, The Load from Jackson Brown. I hadn't thought of that one, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
I certainly Wish You We Were Here from Pink Floyd. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. And maybe would have been one or two on my list. Golden Slumbers, Carry That Weight from the Beatles.
Oh, yep. Yep.
I'd put The End on that as well.
Yes.
All three of those mm-hmm. in a back-to-back. And in fact, I can't really listen to one without the others.
It's hard to. It feels incomplete if you don't listen to all of it.
We talked about that on Fab Four Fridays.
Yes,
we did do that. And I went home that day and listened to all three in a row.
Yeah, I had to get that completion in there.
Number three, Mona Lisa and the Mad Hatters from Elton John.
I love that song.
It's such an underrated song.
Oh, so from his catalog, he's got a couple that were just, that's one of them.
My favorite Elton John song is, I think, also one of his most underrated song, Curtains. It's such a perfect song.
That's also a very good song. I do have to say real quick here, deep cut everybody, Buckshot LaFunk does a version of Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters that is amazing.
Nice.
Just want to put that out there.
Yeah. The great Bradford Marcellus.
Yes.
His great group, yeah. Band. Mm-hmm. Also one of the better band names of all time.
Yes, it is. Especially the way they spell it in French.
It would have been number one on my list, I think, Going to California from Led Zeppelin.
Okay, yep.
That song, according to my mom and dad, has literally put me to sleep. they've actually, that was one of the things my parents
said. That makes sense. That makes sense.
And your song from Elton John is number one on their list. And
okay.
I have no argument with that. I could see that.
Honorable mention, Piano Man by Billy Joel.
Nice.
That would be one.
Yeah. That's a good one. For pop music, they have number 10 on the list, You Broke Me First by Tate McRae. I Don't Want to Be You Anymore by Billie Eilish. Falling from Harry Styles. All of Me from John Legend. Changes from Extension, and then The Remedy for a Broken Heart from Extension as well. Favorite Crime from Olivia Rodrigo. Memories from Maroon 5. When the Party's Over from Billie Eilish, and I Love You from Billie Eilish.
Wow.
And she shows up on this list a lot because of her raspy singing, I think, a little bit of that.
She's got a little bit of a torch singer in her voice.
Yes, I really like it. I love her voice.
She's got a great voice.
Yeah. I really hope the best for that young lady.
Yes.
Because she seems very honest about mental health issues and different things that she struggles with, and I fear for any young person like that, especially one dealing with as much public eye as she does. But she also seems to be handling it pretty well.
She, you know, I saw the episode of My Next Guest Needs No Introduction with David Letterman that he did with Billie Eilish.
Oh.
And I learned so much first about her because she's got Tourette's syndrome.
Yeah.
And she does, they show it a little bit because of the tics that she has and the stuff. And she explained, you know, what it's all about for her and how she's able to cope with it, which is really cool. I mean, it's really fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, got her feet on the ground, man.
She really
listen
seems
to her
to.
Interview. She's got her feet planted on the ground.
Yeah, I'm. She's one of those ones that I look forward to seeing what she does 20 years, like 10 years from now, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. When she becomes more like we've seen with Madonna and Beyonce and Cher and so many other artists like her. I think she's going to have a great career. It really seems like it. And for hip hop, what are you doing? Why would you listen to hip hop to try to fall asleep?
I don't know.
I'm one of the biggest hip hop fans in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. I was there on the ground floor when this stuff was first being played out of boom boxes and everything. What are we doing? Why would you? I don't get it. But Middle Child from J. Cole, Nonstop from Drake, Gucci Gang from Lil Pump. I mean, they got some Post Malone on here too. I mean, I can see some of this stuff. I get a little of it, but at the same time, all these songs, like, similar to one, let me see. Oh, All of Me from John Legend.
Okay.
That song makes me want to find somebody to love, makes me want to, like, find somebody to dance with, that kind of thing. Like, it doesn't make me want to fall asleep. Like, it gets my mind going. I think that way about some of the other ones with the rock category. Mm-hmm. Like, Desperado, I see what they mean by the rhythm.
The tempo,
But that's one of those ones that pull, like, for some reason, I could not tell you why, it pulls something out of me. Mm. And it gets my mind going.
Interesting.
And I don't think I could sleep after listening to that. I really don't think, I've never tried, I don't think I could. Very similar to, though, Imagine, where I cannot hear that song and not picture what John is singing.
Yeah,
it's probably one of the songs I've heard the most in my life. When you consider my father and the Beatles fan that he was and all that,
right,
or is, and how big he is of a John Lennon fan.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever heard the song and not done that. So I really couldn't sleep during listening to that.
No. Because and that's part of it is if you have a song that you know that means something to you, you know, we've talked about this a lot, you know, how music is such a memory, you know, enhancer kind of thing, where you hear a song and immediately you're transported back to wherever you heard it or heard it a lot or whatever like that. And then something like that, even though the tempo is good, you know, it's a quiet, soft song. Yeah, it's not going to work because you're thinking about what it means to you. So unless that's maybe something that will put you to sleep, you know, if it's like a pleasant memory or something. But
well, I think that's the thing that I'm not thinking about with this is there are people out there who are grown adults and they're more mature and smart about their sleep.
Yeah.
Whereas me and the Sandman fight every night.
He comes over and he just sighs.
The Sandman comes into my room, looks at me, and just laughs. Like, he's pretty much undefeated. I've never really beaten him.
No, you can't.
But I will. I will one of these days take him down.
He'll bring out the heavy stuff. Be careful, man.
Well, I will tell you this. You will never hear trash talking like when I beat the Sandman. You will never hear that kind of, better trash talking. I've been waiting my whole life for it.
It's not going to happen.
Probably not going to happen. We would love to hear some other musical, it doesn't have to be a certain category. I just want to hear songs. I mentioned country, bluegrass, classical music, just because they're not on here.
Yeah.
And being honest, I know bluegrass pretty good.
Yeah.
I know my hand in classical, but I honestly don't know country that well. The country that I do know, I probably wouldn't, I like Waylon, I like Johnny Cash, I like a lot of that outlaw country, not exactly like falling asleep to music.
No, it's not. I have a suggestion. Hmm. Okay, how about mid-90s R&B?
Oh, yes.
Anything by Boys to Men, you're going to be out like a light, just because it's kind of boring. Oh, hot take.
Wow,
oh,
wow, oh. Wow, shots fired. Ouch. I think it's a great honorable mention. 90s hip hop or 90s R&B. Yes.
90s R&B. Get your Tony. Yes,
that's what I thought. I was going to say Tony.
Belle Biv DeVoe,
Nice. Get us your songs, everybody. Email Seth and I, James or Seth at WFHR.com. And you can, of course, always direct message us on Facebook as well. We'll take a break right here, but that was fun. That was a good one. Come back with some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, and plenty more fun right here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you at 9:59, 49 on the clock. If it was 59, I'd be talking a lot faster. Trying to get to that top of the hour.
Yep.
We were talking music the last segment. I do want to mention that tomorrow, FRM Fridays, going into gear. Heartstrings going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. Join Terry Johns and I for some great music as the Ben and Katie jam us into our weekends.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah.
So got some That Ain't Right stories to get to real quick here. This is just kind of funny, even though I feel a little mean in saying that, I'll be honest. I don't get that feeling very often. Maybe it's because it's a Canadian That Ain't Right story, and we just don't have many of those. I've never met somebody from Canada I didn't like.
It's true.
Especially when I was a kid growing up, my dad, the hockey players he played with, I'd say over half of them were Canadian.
Canadians, yeah.
Shocker, I'm sure, to the audience out there. And these people, I would see them beat up my father on the ice, and my dad beat them up on the ice. And literally, like, as the game's ticking down, the clock's winding down, if it wasn't a close game or something like that, they're like goofing with each other on the ice and pushing each other and laughing. And my dad's goofing around with these guys afterwards, and they do the line after and shaking hands and stuff. And just really good people.
Yep.
We are going to be joined by the Weather Eye Weather Center tomorrow.
That's
Laura
right,
Lockwood's
yeah.
going to join us. Well, many longtime listeners out there will remember Nikki Latola. Who one of our favorite Canadians and everything. And I love Nikki. I still talk to her to this day. Just talked to her a little while ago. She's doing great, by the way, to the audience.
Excellent.
Her and her husband have a little one now. And she's great. Yeah,
that's
she's
great.
Doing good. And still gives me a hard time just as always.
That's good. Need to give you a hard time.
She used to give Carl and I a hard time. Now she's got to put it all on me. So
you can't divide it anymore.
But, you know, we've got a lot of good Canadian people out there.
Yeah.
Well, a man named Rick Schoen is running for mayor in Winnipeg, Canada. Mm. And yesterday, he announced, like a lot of politicians do, around, especially this time of year, they have their things they're going to stand on, their hills they're going to die on.
Mm-hmm.
And for Rick, one of them is he announced a cycling infrastructure plan that includes plans to reduce bike theft. Bike theft in Winnipeg is out of hand, and he is going to put a stop to this. And just over an hour later, his bike was stolen.
They were sending a message to him. Hey, you want to see your bike again?
Yeah.
We're not doing this.
The Canadian mob.
Especially in Winnipeg, man.
Yeah.
Don't mess with those Winnipeg guys.
Don't mess with I'm sorry. It's so bad.
That's Quebec. Come on.
It is Quebec. Yeah. You're so right about that. It was just like an hour later, his bike was stolen. It was right after the speech.
Oh, God.
He ducked into a store, and when he went back out, his bike was gone. Later yesterday afternoon, he said, quote, "I feel so stupid. I was inside for 2 minutes." He also posted a photo of his missing bike, which is orange. Had a basket on the front.
Wow.
Mm.
Who would steal an orange basket bike?
Mm-mm. I almost think it might have should have been. Like, if you see a grown man running around with a little bat. Maybe it wasn't what I'm picturing in my head. Like,
it might have been something else. You know?
It could have a practical use.
It was a cool basket.
Still, I don't know. I actually, Seth, I have to correct you there. I don't think a cool basket exists.
Okay.
On a bike like that. I don't think that exists.
No,
like,
it doesn't.
It goes little kids and then, like, you're good luck. Like, no.
I love Canadian politics. Can I just say that?
Yes.
I love
yes.
Canadian politics.
I do too. Yes. Yeah. I also, while I would never want to see it necessarily done here in the States because I feel like we wouldn't, I feel like, well, we've proven we're not mature enough to play with our toys.
No.
Now the majority, I genuinely believe the overall average American is very in the middle or somewhere close to it when it comes to a political spectrum.
For majority of things, yeah.
It is the far ends of both sections, of the right and the left, that make it that much harder on the rest of us, that go insane with this stuff, that take it to a level that it should never be gone to, and you couldn't have this. But I do really like English Parliament. I love watching that stuff. Like, I don't watch it like on Mass or anything, but it's kind of fun to watch.
I'll say one thing, and that we should have in this country in politics: question time.
Yeah.
If you have ever seen British Parliament, they put the Prime Minister right in the middle of Parliament,
right in the middle of
and they have people look right at him and ask, "Why aren't you doing this thing?"
Yeah.
We need to have that.
I agree 100%.
And I love the fact it's question time. You know,
it's so
very
good.
British. It's very
so
British.
Proper until they start speaking to each other,
and then it's just savage. Yes.
If you haven't watched it before, I don't think I feel pretty confident saying you've never seen English people act like this.
No,
unless you watch a lot of soccer, yeah. You've never seen any English people act like that.
They suddenly become hooligans.
Yes. Yeah, they lose all their man. It's like it's kind of like what I think of California. Like most average Californians, pretty laid back, pretty easygoing until they get on the highway
in the car. Yeah,
then they
maniacs.
Never forget the first time I'm driving on one of those 5-lane or 10-lane highways and
yeah.
stuff. And I've got this guy who's running on my bumper, man, and I can't see him, but he just will not lose. And he moves around me, and he's giving me the finger and yelling and all this stuff, and he's in a Beetle Bug with a big peace sign on the back of it. I'll never forget that. The guy was so angry at
love
me.
It. He love it. Love it.
I'd never driven on a 5-10 highway before. Dude, I was having a hard time. Good story of the day, Tom.
All right.
A cop in Oregon saved a drunk driver from a burning car on Monday. It was on its side, and they had to break the sunroof to get him out. Very incredible video going along with that, too.
Oh, man. Good on that officer, man.
It's a really, really, really amazing scene.
Nice.
Also a cop in Canada saved a skunk. We talked about this yesterday
with
the peanut butter jar. That was an honorable mention to mention that one again.
Yes. More Canadian stuff, too. I like it.
Well, I kind of felt bad about the other Canadian stories. One of our listeners didn't hear the whole story, but basically the skunk was trying to eat peanut butter that was in a jar that was on the side of the road or something. And this officer didn't have to do this, but was nice enough to help.
Get it unstuck, yeah.
A road in Washington, D.C. just got renamed Swan Street to Swan Street. Now, why? Why would they do this? It's spelled the exact same. It used to be named after a slave owner from the 1800s. Now it's named after a former slave named William Dorsey Swan, who was also a gay rights pioneer.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. Very good. That's very cool.
Just real quickly to touch on this, because it has been a talking point for many years now, at least the last 3 or 4, and certainly it is something that a lot of politicians like to put their name on and stuff. Oh, we're trying to erase history. Oh, we're trying to... what happens? Well, nobody will remember the past. Have you heard of the internet? Have you heard of history books? Do you really think that there's literally anything that can be erased anymore? Anything, good or bad?
Yeah.
Whatever. No, nobody is trying to erase history.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do is make it a better America for everybody, not just you. It's bigger than you. The world is bigger than you. Try getting outside your box and look at the world around you and understand that there are people that don't look like you, didn't grow up in you in the same way you did, and deal with different things that you do.
Yes.
Representation matters because our country matters. Unless you're planning on running this whole thing by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need us. You're going to need all of these other extras and everything like that.
Yep.
So, no, I don't think that we're trying to erase history. I think we're trying to correct the future.
Yes.
We're trying to make a better future.
Yeah. Plus, I do want to add that a street name is not history. It's for the people now.
Yeah.
It's not for whatever it was named. People change, first of all, the street names all the time, okay? Every city does it. They change names for a lot of different reasons. I have no problem at all with that.
I will also add to this, though. I don't think this is a very thin line, while it does seem to be for some.
Mm-hmm.
I do think we go a little crazy with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there were certain people who did a lot of good who did own slaves.
Yep.
And I think you can chew gum and walk at the same time. You can look at somebody like a George Washington, an Abraham Lincoln, or somebody like this and say, my God, we would not have the country we have without them. These were incredible Americans. You can't tell the story of America without these great Americans. And they also had their faults.
Because they were human beings.
They were human beings. Spoiler alert. They were human beings, everybody.
Yeah. We all have faults. We all have issues.
Do me a favor. To the perfect person out there listening, could you email me? I'd love to know that there
How
was
do you
one.
Do it?
Who's that one person out there in human history that's perfect?
Yeah.
So I think that there's a line in the sand on that one. And we got to get better about where to put that line. All of us do. And we got to do it together. This isn't one of those things where just one group decides.
Yep.
Everybody comes together and figures this stuff out.
And remember, history is everything good and bad. We need to remember it. You're right. But we need to remember all of it.
When you think of the South and you think of the Confederacy, what is one of the first names that pops in your head? Stonewall Jackson.
Yep.
Stonewall Jackson. You can Google this. You can look it up yourself. If you don't take my word for this, listen to literally the one of the voices of the South. Stonewall Jackson said there should be none monuments to the Confederacy.
Mm-hmm.
They came in second. All right?
Mm-hmm.
They, you don't put up statues for second place. This is Stonewall Jackson saying this. Come on. You know,
yep.
There's no point. It doesn't. You can tell the story of the South. You can tell the story of the Confederacy. I'm not saying you don't talk about it at
you
all.
You absolutely
That's the exact opposite of what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You just tell the whole story, and you make it so that everybody can listen to it.
Yep.
Everybody can.
Yep. There you go.
And finally, two half-sisters from Michigan just met for the first time this summer.
I love that.
They're both in their late 50s. One was adopted, and they found out about each other 4 years ago. But one of them lives in England now, so they hadn't been able to meet up in person yet.
Hmm. Look at that.
That's beautiful.
That's great. I love those stories.
Yeah, they never get old.
No.
Yeah, they never do.
Good story.
Like when a soldier surprises their kid or something.
Always
like,
fun. There's always fun. Ones,
I could watch like 90 of them in a row, and it never gets old. Seth, really good hanging out with you this morning.
It was a lot of fun, brother.
Yeah, we'll talk to you in a little bit with the Over the Back Fence.
Mm-hmm.
Stick around for Morning Magazine, everybody, right here on
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.